MTV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, August 16th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. As we've said on this show before, every Friday we can't wait until Monday arrives again until we can get back here and do another show. And we're particularly excited about today's show because we have a man named George Humphrey from Austin, Texas, who is not only a top-notch researcher, but he's also one of the nicest guys we've met in a long time. Now, George's site can be found at www.fearorlove.com, and he's also the author of these books, at which you can see Common Sense, Uncommon Sense, also 9/11, The Great Illusion, and the DVD that we've been selling on site here, 9/11, The Great Illusion. And folks, this is one of the best out there. It's fantastic.
And I tell you what, it's people like George Humphrey that motivate people like us
right.
to keep doing what we're doing, and I know he will motivate you as well.
Right. So, George, welcome to Wing TV.
Well, I am so honored to be on the show, and I'm also so happy to have recently made your acquaintance. I've gotten to read your books and booklets, and I've seen your film, and it's quite clear that we're thinking on the same lines.
Right. Well, George, we also forgot to mention that you do a cable access show also, don't you?
Yeah, I've been doing cable access for quite a long period of time. I have a television show here in Central Texas called Common Sense, in which we focus on the New World Order, and it has become one of the most popular shows in Central Texas. And it is a lot of fun.
Super. Well, to get going on this show today, there's a lot of negativity in the world and a lot of people that just moaning and bitching and complaining about a lot of things. And we try to keep a positive attitude here at Wing TV and give out a good message. So my first question to you today is, what are we doing good as a people and as a society in America? And also, on the other hand, where are we failing and what do we need to do better?
Well, the answer to that question is a book in itself, but to bring it down in an encapsulized form is that when I first became aware of the New World Order, which was about 15 years ago, I almost became physically sick. It was like the villagers seeing that the king actually had no clothes on.
Right.
In other words, my paradigm was being shattered. And at first, I didn't think I could go forward because I thought I'd lose all my friends and I'd lose my position. And at the time, I was getting ready to run as a U.S. congressman. I was formerly a city councilman, and I was thinking I was going to be the next congressman. And I realized if I start talking about this, that would not happen.
Right.
But I made the decision to go forward, and against all my good sense, but my common sense was to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And at first, most of my friends were just aghast at what I was saying and were very angry. But what I have found is that my decision to go forward with the truth as I understand it has really opened up my life. And I am finding people all over, not only here in Austin, Texas, or throughout the Southwest, but all over the country and all over the world, who I am meeting and getting to know and seeing their works. And there are an incredible number of alive, vibrant, courageous, conscientious people around this world who are gathering information, who are sharing it with others, and who are also learning about environmental issues. They're learning about spiritual issues. And as I say in every book and everything I'm saying, what we're facing is not just a political, economic, or a cultural crisis. Mm-hmm. It is a time of spiritual choice.
Right.
That's right. And, you know, one of the greatest things that I was reading that you wrote was how people are constantly agitated and focused on events of the past or worried about the future, and how we've been manipulated by a group of psychic vampires. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Well, again, that's a big deal, but to try and keep it as simple as possible is that it's my belief that we as human beings are part of the Creator. We're divine. We're sovereign. Mm-hmm. There is immense and infinite energy for us called love that created by the Creator or God or whatever you want to call it. And if we play by the universal laws, there is always abundance for us. But unfortunately, those rascals who are at the far end of the polarity, those who are part of the power elite, the Bilderberg, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, they believe that life is limited and that the only way to get power is by sucking the economic or the political power or the life energies from others.
That's such a good
point. They really are like psychic vampires.
Yeah. Well,
and you know what? It's part of the game of this life right now is to do what's right and to say no to them.
Right.
Say no to them like children, children that we love, but also being very firm and saying we're not going to go down this path.
Well, a lot of our energy was sucked out on the morning of 9/11, and I know you've written quite a bit about that event, and your stuff is so good that I actually quoted you in my book 9/11 Exposed. And when we watched your video or your DVD for the first time, you came up with a point that I hadn't heard before, and this is about the pool of molten steel that was beneath, seven stories beneath the World Trade Center towers for 5 to 6 weeks after the event. Now, a lot of people were saying that there is explosives inside the building, which we concur with, but you said to get this molten pool of steel that big and for that long, it had to be something more. So that's just a fantastic point. Explain a little bit more.
Yeah, and again, the thing, there is so much that I did not put in my documentary, and the things that I did not put into my documentary were things that I could, first of all, I didn't want to do a 10-hour documentary, and it easily could have been a 10-hour documentary.
Sure.
But what I put in my documentary is easily verifiable. It is objective information for anybody who will look. And a fellow by the name of Christopher Bolin, who is one of the greatest investigative writers in the country and in the world, he works for the American Free Press. He lives in Europe. He was over there, and he was talking with people, and he found that the steel, the thick, thick steel beams that were in the foundation, and I'm a builder, I build things, they had a very deep and sturdy foundation, that those foundational beams were melted. Now, steel does not melt until 2,700 degrees.
Right.
Plus, there was a fire retardant on there. Now, there was no oxygen down there, there was no jet fuel. It is absolutely impossible for the government story of a compression demolition to have melted the foundation or any of the other steel beams.
And turn it into a pool of molten steel like you'd find in a factory.
Yeah, the temperatures had to be a minimum of 2,700 degrees.
So what do you attribute it to?
Well, clearly, the hydrocarbons of the jet fuel at maximum temperature for moments can only reach 1,800 degrees.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, there had to be either a low-level nuclear explosion, and since there was no radioactivity that I know of, then the only other way this could have happened is with what a high-tech explosive called RDX, which explodes at over 1,000 feet per second, and it can reach temperatures of about 3,200 degrees.
That's incredible.
And that is the main component of what most people know as C4.
Uh-huh.
And so quite clearly, and then if you take a look at the seismographic charts of Columbia University, this is not some right-wing theorist, this is Columbia University's seismographic charts, it's quite clear that there was a series of explosions that took place in the World Trade Center buildings 1 and 2, with the largest explosion being in the basement or the base of the building.
George,
so you look at the forensics of the explosion, and the government story is just absolutely a fairy tale.
Right.
We've talked a lot about mind control here lately, and how the public at large has been traumatized by 9/11. Their conscience has literally been silenced. And you discuss in your book how the mind is controlled by the lower senses and how our are we create these phantom realities and expectations. Well, we're trying to reach more people. And I got an email from a lady today who is actually, quote unquote, ferociously working for the Kerry Edwards campaign.
And she I get a lot of those too.
Yeah, she says, we must get Kerry elected and we must rid the world of the malignancy that is in the White House now. What would you say to this woman?
Well, because I get those types of emails, phone calls, and letters on a daily basis, it's very frustrating to me because I used to be a Democrat and I used to work, you know, the Democratic Party because I thought it was the party that was helping the common people. And I was in the old paradigm of left versus right.
Right.
And I also know that these people are, they're very sincere about their beliefs, but
yeah.
they don't see the larger picture.
Right.
And unless they are primed or ready or open to examine a different point of view is that the term called cognitive dissidence,
mm-hmm.
or in other words, the compartmentalization has been so intense that no matter what facts you give them about Kerry and the Democratic Party, they cannot comprehend it.
Right.
And remember what Jesus said. He said, let the dead bury the dead,
right.
or let those who have eyes see. In other words, people are only able to get this information if they have the ability or the integrity to keep an open mind, and they have not been manipulated or mind-controlled.
Yeah.
And as you know, is that a vast percentage of the people is at the conditioning, whether it be conditioning for the right side of the
right.
Republican or the left side of the Democratic, is so significant that it's very difficult for them to even comprehend what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, that segues perfectly into my next question, which was about the conditioning that's laid upon us by the elite from basically birth, and it's through the schools and the media and advertising, political parties, even
organized religion.
Even through religion, where they don't promote people to go out and seek answers. They just want this blind faith where they, you know, put a few
indoctrination.
Dollars. Yeah, indoctrination. So, you know, how can people get beyond this conditioning to see, you know, through the illusion or through the veil?
Well, first of all, this change in awareness or consciousness, we could answer that question, we could solve this problem, because clearly this is the most difficult or frustrating concept. And I talk about this every day. A friend of mine who wrote this book called Bringers of the Dawn, she said this. Her name is Barbara Marciniak. The ultimate tyranny in a society is not control by martial law. It is controlled by the psychological manipulation of consciousness.
Wow.
Through which reality is defined so that those who exist within do not even realize they are in prison.
Very good.
Now, all of us, because we are part of the creation of God and waking up, you know, I've been mind-controlled, and I'm sure that there's still things that I'm mind-controlled about right now. And almost on a weekly basis, somebody will write me something, and I'll go, I hadn't thought about that. Maybe that's true. And in my belief, I believe that this third dimensional consciousness or reality or dimension is a reality of duality. Almost anything that we can think about, we can create. Now, it's very real, but it's also illusionary. And so getting people to consider these possibilities, and so I start with, when I find somebody like this, I start with very simple things, like the Federal Reserve and the manipulation
right.
mm-hmm. of money, which people can understand, and if they can understand that our monetary and economic systems are totally manipulated, then I can take them in
right.
and show them where the
what
political
yeah.
systems are manipulated.
The power elite controls the banks, the media, most of technology, and most people's minds. How do we dilute their power? And talk about synchronicity and the role it plays when we get on the right path.
Well, synchronicity is what I consider a universal law. Synchronicity means that like energies will find each other. And it's just like One day I was learning about, I just got curious about trees, and suddenly I started, you know, everybody in the world who came up to me started telling me about trees. And when I didn't know about the New World Order, nobody would talk to me about it. But when I finally opened up to it, there was this whole world out there. And when we open up to God's laws and to the synchronicity of life and to all the wonderful things that are out there for us, instead of being victims, and one of the things that I say over and over and over again, which is very true, which is important, is that people have to get out of victim mentality. They have to stop looking for somebody else, the government or the knight on the white horse, to come and save them. We as human beings have created this problem, and we as individuals and human beings have to heal this. And thus we have to claim our own sovereignty and open ourselves up to the good things. And when we do that, then others who are empowered and sovereign will come to us.
Yeah. Right. And so people like realize what we're up against. When you start investigating the New World Order and the elite up at the top of the power or the control pyramid, you find out that these people are the arms dealers, they're the drug dealers, they're the money launderers, they're the assassins. What they've basically created is a global organized crime syndicate. I mean, like, when we watch the news, most people don't realize it, but these people make the mafia look like Boy Scouts.
Well, the mafia is just their... the toes on the foot.
Mm-hmm.
The mafia was created. When you find out the real history of the mafia in this country, it is clearly just a little tentacle of the power elite.
Right.
And, you know, for people to deny conspiracy is absolutely the most provincial point of view there is. And we've all had friends or family who laugh at us about the black helicopters or conspiracy theory. Well, quite clearly, those people have not studied history, and they don't realize that human beings have conspired to manipulate others since the beginning. It's all part of the game, and it's our part of the game to not only to expose this, but most importantly, to change the vision and change the way of life.
Yeah.
We need to reach a critical mass of 5% of the population in order to affect any kind of real change. And I really like what you said there, George, that like energies will draw toward one another, and we need to raise our spiritual consciousness to dilute their power over us. And it seems at this point that that's our only option.
Well, quite clearly, because, I mean, there's that old Jim Morrison Door song called "They Have the Guns, But We Got the Numbers."
Yeah.
And, but we really don't have the numbers yet, because most of our brothers and sisters are still living in the illusion.
Right.
And it is part of the game. And in the book, The Hundredth Monkey, which was a wonderful book, and it's still out there, they're saying at first new ideas are laughed at, and then they're resisted. But if an idea really carries the truth, it will only be disseminated through the population when there's a critical mass of about 5%. And right now, I believe that about 1 to 1.5% of the population of this country can really connect the dots.
I agree.
It is our number one priority to increase our numbers to that critical mass of about 5%, which would give us about 13 to 14 million Americans who are willing to stand up and say, we need to restore truth, we need to restore justice, we need to restore the republic, and say no to this manipulation. If we can do that, we can protect ourselves.
Right.
But for everyone who is listening, tell a friend, tell a relative, remember, each one of you have power.
Right, and tell as many people as I can. The thing I like most about you, George, I guess, is that I can hear just in your voice the hope. I mean, you really hope, and you actually believe, I think, that we can change. And there's so many people that get inundated with this and get a negative attitude, but I can just hear the positive attitude coming out of you, and I hope everyone watching this show can feel that.
Yeah, because it's contagious.
Yeah.
Well, it's not only think or hope. I know, as you know, it's possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, I go to India quite often, and I've studied a lot of Gandhi's teachings and his life. And when he got to India, is that there were only 300,000 British there, and there was 300 million Indians, and 90% of them wanted independence. But in their minds, they still felt like the British were the sahibs, and they were the servants. And his job was to change the mindset or the reality. And that's what you and I and all the three of us are doing, and many, many, many thousands of dedicated patriots, not only across this country, but throughout the world. Wherever I am going, people are waking up very quickly. And the one place that is the most manipulated is right here in the good old USA.
Oh, you better believe it.
Yeah, they seem to focus. We are the most independent, loving, freedom-loving people there are, and they expected to have the most trouble out of Americans. So I guess that's why we're getting the intense brunt of the hammer.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Pike's book, he always talked about that the greatest block to the New World Order was the United States and the people in the United States. And that's why there has been so much focus and attention on manipulating the people of this country, first through diet, then through the media, through the schools, and through the massive lies, through the chemtrails, through the aspartame, through the fluoride. All of these things are working on weakening we as individuals, and so that we do not integrate our energy systems to claim our right.
And they're altering our perceptions.
Absolutely.
Well, Jordan, one more question before we have to get going. And folks, we want to urge you, go to www.fearorlove.com. And you know what? Watch this show again after you're done, because what George is saying is so close to the mark that you have to listen to what he's saying and accept it and practice it. But before we get going, what are you working on for the future? What do you see down the road for George Humphrey?
Well, it's a daily question right now, because things are in such flux. I have made this documentary called 911, The Great Illusion, which you can get on order from www.fearorlove.com. And so the response on this has been just tremendous.
Good for you, George.
We're getting a lot more orders than I thought. So just keeping up with that is great. I have my television show, and on a daily basis, I'm meditating and asking Creator or God or whatever, is what can I do to, you know, help my life and my friends and families in this country and this world? And the most important thing is keeping healthy, keeping happy, not getting depressed, sharing this information, and being joyful.
Well, George, you're definitely on the right path.
And I know that if you listen to what George is saying, you'll realize that fear is a contracting energy, and it will weaken us.
Right.
And we need to focus more on the positive and loving, and we can defeat this.
Right. Well, George, thank you so much for being on Wing TV.
Yes.
Everybody, if you haven't been there, go to www.fearorlove.com. George Humphrey, thank you very much.
Thank you,
million. Thank you. It's really been an honor. See ya.
We'll stay in touch.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And we'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV with Mr. Kyle Hentz.
Keep your eyes open, everyone.